radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Live from the Nashville Sports Radio studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a rainy day in Nashville, Tennessee. And at least for now, I'm kind of okay with it. We need the rain. No doubt about that. We have a busy show, very busy show for you today. So let's get things going immediately. Let's head up to the plateau. Say hello to Coach Watson Brown. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm great. I'm back on the plateau.
Good. That's excellent.
After having a wonderful lunch with you and Terry. And honestly, Terry, he balked. I mean,
did everybody hear what Watson said? Watson, if you would, repeat that.
I said, George Plaster, the man, the myth, the legend, bought lunch today for Terry and I. About fell out.
Terry, your reaction to that?
Oh, it was a kind gesture on your part, George. And you know, I'll just say this, that I, like Watson, I was pleasantly surprised.
How is the Franklin McDonald's these days?
Hey, Terry. Terry, yeah. There was one piece though that we have to tell.
Oh, absolutely.
Our waitress comes out after we've eaten and she says, "Anybody want dessert?" And George says, "Oh no, I'm full. We're through." Of course, we didn't know he was buying at that point, but that's what he said. And she says, "But it's free pie Wednesday." Oh man, yes, please.
By all means.
The guy is so cheap, he wouldn't even buy himself a piece of pie. Wow. But when it was free, and it was gone before we left there, I will say that. So he was a little hungrier, Terry, than he thought he was.
Yes, you know, the old adage, if it's free, it's me.
Damn right. So let me ask you all this question. So I was not the only one who received a free piece of pie. Terry, what is the status of your piece of pie at this moment?
I'm afraid when I got back here that Connor confiscated it and ate it.
Well, you know what? That's so stupid on your end. Well, to give him half a chance. It should have been gone by the time you hit the county line.
Well, it's kind of hard to eat pie. You know, I know there's laws against texting and driving. I don't know if there are laws against eating pie and driving.
It just makes you a slob. That's all it does. Watson, what about your pie?
It's been given to my wife. Wasn't that sweet?
Did you let her know that I was responsible?
Yes, I did do that.
And then she fell down.
She passed out and we took her to the emergency room.
where she's recovering quickly.
Where she may be in for a week after telling her that.
Okay. So we've had our fun, as is often the case, at my expense. However,
not always. Don't go there now. You throw it out pretty good.
Don't think for a minute that you won't get yours back.
Believe me.
Watson, let's start in Columbus, Ohio today.
I wanted to start in New York with the Yankees and the Braves from last night.
We've got no starting pitching. Oh, we are an absolute starting pitching train wreck.
Oh, and the guy you brought in out of the bullpen gave up a home run to Aaron Judge that dented one of the signs.
Well, fine. Fine. I'm told the Yankees and the Braves play again tonight. I don't think I can bear to watch it.
I want, I was going to ask, are you going to watch or are you just going to let this one fly?
I think I'm going to let this one fly. Unfortunately, the things I've worried about look like they're true. Outside of Max Fried, they haven't got anything in the starting pitching world, and they're trotting out people right now. They don't know what they're getting. They're falling way behind too early. And about the only positive I can find right now is that this should send Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, a very clear message that is, in the offseason, if this everyday lineup, which is a really good one, is ever going to win anything, you better go get them some starting pitching. Period.
Period.
End of story. So, Watson and Terry, thank you for bringing that up. That was
no problem.
Really kind of you. Ohio State football coach Ryan Day is where we will start. He says he's exploring ways to get his football team on the field as quickly as possible, including a spring season that begins in early January and wraps up before the NFL draft in late April. He says he thinks the Big Ten could begin play in early January with an 8 or 9 game schedule, and even with postseason play, end before the NFL draft.
Wonder why he's saying that.
Why do you think he's saying it? Because he's trying to get some kids that might...
Justin Fields.
Yeah. That's exactly why.
I'm telling you, his quarterback's even exploring transfer, and he's working on that as we speak to keep that from happening, believe me.
We also have news today that the new commissioner of the Big Ten, is his name Kevin Warren?
Mm-hmm.
Believe that's right. Old Kevin finally woke up and told Nebraska to go blow it out there, you know what. I really am surprised it took him this long to do this. Scott Frost started it. The AD and the president continued on. We're disappointed in the Big Ten's decision. We want to play. And Kevin Warren finally said, oh, you can play, but you won't be a part of this conference. And my question is, what took you so damn long?
Yeah, I mean... give him credit for doing it. That's the way I'll say it. I mean, that's the only thing you can say. You can't have most everybody that I've read since the decision was made, George, they've backed it. We're behind it. Let's figure out how we're going to play. And good old Nebraska is, I don't know. Have you felt all along that you, are they truly into and being a member of the Big Ten?
Sure feels like they're trying to set in motion something else.
Yeah, and to go back to the Big 12 is all it could be, isn't it?
I mean, that's what I think.
It couldn't be SEC. There's not a spot.
I don't see him in the Mountain West.
No.
Which is I don't see him anyway. Going there.
I think that's a good point you made there, George.
Yeah, thank you.
You took a lot of time on that one, I know.
Yeah. So Zach's over here, and he's so fired up about his new breaking news sounder that I'm going to let him use it again. And I guess, Terry, since that's the old ABC Nightline theme, that makes you Ted Koppel.
I guess so. All right, here we go. This from Adam King of KFVS. He covers Southeast Missouri and Murray State for that station. He says the OVC will vote tomorrow afternoon on playing fall sports. Multiple sports tell me it's likely the OVC will vote to move fall sports to the spring.
Okay, Watson, yours is the opinion I want to hear on this one.
Me, George, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear yours.
As usual, I was blabbering and not listening. I think you saw where the Big South pulled out this morning, and that's the Kennesaw States and that group in North Carolina and Virginia. There's quite a few schools. So it's down to three. I think it's the Southern, the OVC, and the Southland. I think it's all that hadn't pulled out of FCS. So it's just they've got to finally say something. At this point, that's what I would do. I mean, you've just got too many have pulled out. I just don't know. Why would the players want to play and you're just kind of playing for a conference? You get nothing else. You don't have the playoffs. I see all of them, and maybe the Southern being the last one. Isn't it amazing, George and Terry? Who are the three that are left? Southeastern top schools, Southern schools, right? I mean, you've got the Southland, which is down in Louisiana. I think some in Texas. You've got the Southern, which is that South Carolina, North Carolina, that group of people, Furman, all of that. And you've got the OVC, and that's what's left. It was 9 of 13 gone, and then the Big South pulled out today, so that's only 3 left. So it's time for them to vote. I'm surprised that we hadn't heard anything from the OVC, but that makes sense to me.
Other notes. A lot of stuff, by the way. The Masters will now be played without spectators or patrons, which is fine with me because I wasn't invited anyway. I don't seem like the Masters type. Terry, all I can think of is two words, bikini wax.
You would look nice in a green jacket, though, George.
But remember, who was it?
Sport coat, don't you think?
Who was it, though, that used the line about the greens or like bikini wax or something?
Gosh, I can't remember who that
was. I think it was Gary McCord, and I don't think he was ever invited back.
He didn't last long after that one, did he?
Same story now with the Kentucky Derby, which will be Labor Day weekend, September the 5th. They also announced today no spectators. Buffalo Bills ink their head coach, Mr. McDermott, to a 6-year contract extension. And there is one Stanley Cup final to report from earlier today. Double OT. Boston Bruins take a 1-0 lead on Carolina. They beat the Hurricanes today 4-3. Most of us know what happened last night. Tampa Bay and Columbus went 5 overtimes before Tampa Bay won, which invites a pretty easy question. Should this year teams that are already having trouble getting into shape because of everything going on, Terry, should they be playing 5 overtimes?
I don't think it's a great idea simply because they're trying to squeeze in an extra round. That, you know, they had that qualifying round, and now they're starting the playoffs. I mean, yeah, as much excitement as it might be to see a 5 overtime game, there have only been a handful of those in playoff history, I think it still is probably going to be better on the players if they went to – say shootouts, maybe after starting with the third overtime.
So Watson, you and I both saw it. Terrific game, but how hard would it be to try to get back up by tomorrow to play game 2 after having played, let me do the math here, almost 100 minutes of hockey?
How long did you say?
Almost 100 minutes.
Yeah, and hour-wise, it started at 2. And we were watching it at what, George?
7:30, 8 o'clock? Man.
Yeah, I mean, good
crazy.
Gracious.
Yeah.
Near 6 hours of hockey, and we know what those hockey guys go through. Lord, they can't hardly stay out there 30 seconds because it wears them out so much in their back. Wasn't it amazing, George, to see? They looked tired, didn't they?
Oh,
the players look tired. They'd show a shot on the side, and they just wore out people with their head hanging down on the brace there, and they look tired to me.
Yeah.
That's too much hockey. They've got to do something.
For sure, in this year, given the circumstances, I would, you know, obviously we're now in a thing where you can change rules maybe at the drop of the hat. I think at the end of the first round, the commissioner needs to come out and say, listen, we're gonna do something, and here it is, starting with the second round. We have a terrific show today. The commissioner of the MAC, Dr. John Steinbrecher, will join us after the break. His conference over the weekend is the one that got a lot of this started when they just said simply, we're not doing it, and the health people tell us we shouldn't be doing it. John Steinbrecher in about 4 minutes. Then at 3:05, we'll go to Nebraska, and we'll talk with Parker Gabriel about what is going on there. And, you know, now we have the Big Ten telling Nebraska to go stick it. And what is going on behind the scenes? It's a weird story that doesn't have a real good look. Anyway, that's what we'll do at 3:05. We will open up the phone lines at 3:20. There should be a lot for you all to react to. A lot of things going on in the world of sports. So let's get this show on the road. At 2:19, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Martin Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little, did I just win $50 fun?
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
.222 is the time as we welcome all of you back on a rainy Wednesday afternoon, and I hope it continues raining a little bit because we need it. So all of you know the story by now. During all of this pandemic stuff that has been going on, I have been able now three different times to reach out to a friend of mine who happens to be the commissioner of the MAC conference, Dr. John Steinbrecher, and get him to come on and share thoughts about what the people at that level, the decision making, and what it is they're having to do. So it should be no surprise that I have begged him again to come on, and he's been nice enough to do it. Saturday, as you know, over the weekend, the MAC started this whole thing by announcing that they would not play football in the fall. John, thank you for taking the time to be on with us.
George, it's good to be with you, and if you were in Cleveland, it would be sunny.
Really? Not always that. Sunny in Cleveland, is it?
No, it's not.
Wow. So let me ask one thing right off the bat before we get into the meat of this. How hard, that cannot be a good feeling to have to basically get up and make the announcement that you had to make Saturday. I mean, that has to cause sleepless night, agonizing, whatever word you want to throw out there. That's no fun.
Oh, George, it's probably the most miserable decision I've been part of as a commissioner, and I think in my 27th year as a commissioner across three different leagues. It's been weeks in the making, and then probably in the 10 days, 2 weeks prior to that, just a series of intensive meetings. And I didn't know what the outcome would be. We had laid out, or were laying out, kind of a spectrum of options. There were four options that we were looking at, from kind of completely staying the course, playing everything as is, not changing any schedules, and then the other end is shutting it down. And just as we got deeper into it, and then the final couple of conversations with our medical advisory board, you could just see where it was going. And yeah, I grew up in a family. My father was a student athlete, he was a college football player. He was a coach. He was an athletics director. He was a professor. I was a student athlete, played few sports in college, have been involved all my professional life in college athletics. I value what I got out of being a student athlete. I think those of us involved in this enterprise firmly believe on that it adds so much to the educational experience. So for the individual student athlete, there's such value. And then what it brings to the institution in general and the community in general, there are some great things. And so to have to, you know, step back and say, no, we're not going to do it this fall, oh, just gut-wrenching.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it. So for people who wonder about what kind of advice you get from medical people, what was the big moment where you all got told something where everybody looked at each other and said, oh, Lordy?
Well, we had been staring each other for pushing a month and looking at data. When you're looking at the data going on across our communities and across our states and across regions, right? And so that's not very positive. And the numbers, even though we're starting finally maybe in a lot of areas to see us, maybe we're leveling off or even starting to see increases, those numbers are just ridiculously high. I would remind people, when we shut down spring sports and basketball back in March, we had a little over 1,200 cases of COVID diagnosed in the country. Well, we're doing about 1,000 cases a day in Ohio right now. I mean, just the numbers are incredible. But then you look at, we start thinking about all the medical things around the virus and what does it cause. And this isn't just the flu. And you start tracking what are the things we know about it and, you know, who's getting it and so on. We've seen in this second, more recent wave of this disease, more and more younger people are getting it. And they do get sick. And then we start getting into some unknowns. We're starting to see that there's some cardiac issues that perhaps come either from having this as asymptomatically or symptomatically. And we don't necessarily know, are those long-term or are they just short-term? And even if they're short-term, they're pretty devastating. Then we build in it, in our case, in many cases, there's travel advisories where you can travel or not travel. For instance, if I have teams that want to travel to play Buffalo from the state of Ohio or the state of Indiana, they got to quarantine for 14 days before they'd be able to do anything. Now, could we have gotten an exemption? I don't know. We've been talking to them for a long time. Hadn't really gotten there yet. You look at testing issues, and there's still questions about the ability to procure the tests. And even more difficult is getting tests back in a timely fashion. Right now, our testing procedures require we've got to get the results back in 72 hours. We're seeing places across our footprint where it could be 5 to 7 days or more before we get test results. Contact tracing concerns about that. We've been told by our local health boards that we're not going to prioritize you. If you have an issue, you're not at the top of the list. You're going to fall where you fall. And so that delays further things. So just an array of things that you start focusing on. But as much as anything else, what was as compelling as anything else were the unknown risks. When for those of us, most of us played some sort of sport or so on, we understand what the risks are of playing that sport. I could hurt my knee, I could hurt my shoulder, my elbow, whatever it is. What we're still dealing with this virus, is we don't know all the risks and we don't clearly understand them. And so we were uncomfortable putting our student athletes out there without being able to fully articulate what those risks are. And so we came down and clearly we charted a conservative course. Some others have gone that way and some others are charting a different path right now.
How gratifying is it for you that I don't hear a lot of backbiting in your conference about the decision?
Well, I was appreciative that the membership was a unanimous decision. I mean, this was not me stepping out saying, "Up, we're not doing this." No, this was our membership, and I represent them, and I certainly am involved in those conversations. And it was important, and I think our membership felt it was important that we be unified. Wherever we come out on this, we need to move forward. And I've been largely gratified by our coaches and our student athletes. Bitterly disappointed. They understand it. They're looking for clarity now on what that means they can do in the days and weeks ahead. And as we look to possibly or potentially having seasons in the spring. But I think the student athletes were appreciative of the fact that we were concerned with their health and well-being.
The commissioner of the MAC conference, Dr. John Steinbrecher, is on the line with us. Watson, what do you got for him?
Well, first, John, I just commend you and thank you for taking leadership. It's very important to make decisions when it's time to make decisions, and you did that through your presidents and your chancellor, and through all my time, I've learned one thing: it's easy to make that decision. Everybody pats you on the back. It's a lot tougher to make that decision that is not going to be the public, what the public wants to hear. And I just appreciate you making a decision one way or the other, but being strong and putting it together and making a decision. My first thought would be, really, your work is just starting again. Because now, what do you do? Do you stop the kids from working out at all? When do you think you might let them go and start back again? Are you already, John, in some of that?
You know, yes, we laid out some very basic parameters right now, which is essentially 8 hours of practice activity and voluntary workout time is available. Football is a little different from that based on what I would call the summer enhanced protocols they had. But largely, we're providing, we think, enough structure for the time being that they can be interacting with coaches and staff and things that they need to do, give them some structure, keep them around campus. We'll keep our testing protocols going and those sorts of things. And then we're engaged with the NCAA and others right now in determining, you know, as we move into getting back into classes open and kids on campus, they're not in their season of competition now. That's going to be moving to the spring, potentially. And so we need to more fully define what we can do in the fall. And does that mean we can maybe move towards more of it in the sport of football? We think of their spring practice. Can we move some of that to the fall? Well, perhaps, but we've got to get that scrubbed through our medical group, our sports medicine group, and have our president sign off on us before we go down that path.
My second thing, John, would be, I've kind of said all along, you're going to get the virus. There's going to be kids. There's going to be professional athletes. There's going to be students. You're going to get the virus. People are going to get this virus. We're in the millions now. the key is, how do you treat getting it? Do you take it real serious, or do you say it's okay? And to me, you've taken it real serious. And did you look at it that way? Because when I started, the life and death was one thing. But then when they started saying there could be ramifications from getting this, did that play a big part in that?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at the data, and this gets in the weeds, and I don't want, I'm not trying to push anything aside here. The mortality rates, when you look at them for the age group that college kids are in, is really low. Let's face that. However, we'd all recognize if any one person dies of that age group, that's too many. But what really caught our attention was the unknowns and the side effects from this virus, the heart issues we were starting to see, the cardiac stuff. That really caused us to step back and say, you know what, we need to proceed really cautiously here until we have better understanding of this.
And my last thing, Terry, I'll let you have him. John, this will be a little early because there's still some that haven't, they're saying they're playing, but I think they're still watching too, to be very honest, because a lot of these conferences don't even start playing until late September. And if there were to be some play, what in the world do you think will happen BCS-wise? Will they have a championship with just those? Will they wait and have, would they have two different ones? I mean, because half of you all, there's, what, two of the group of fives that are gone, three are left, and there's two of the power fives gone, three are left in just FBS. There's still some lingering FCSs out there. What do you think will happen with the championship and the bowl games? Are they going to try to split? Are they going to watch and wait? And if there is a split, some play in the fall, some play in the spring, what in the world do you think would go down?
That's a really good question. I wish I had the answers for it. I guess as I sit here, I think it's probably hard to hold a national championship if you don't have all the participants as part of it. But we'll just have to play that out and see where we end up. And I think you're exactly right. I think the other FBS conferences that have announced their proceeding are doing their due diligence. They're paying attention. They're watching. They're monitoring. And you know what? If we'll see where that all ends up somewhere down the road.
Terry?
John, I guess my first question is this, and it pertains to what we've seen from, I guess, Justin Fields, you know, talking about transferring from Ohio State. What's the max, I guess, their stance on players that might want to transfer out of school and try to play immediately in one of these conferences that are still planning on going ahead and trying to play?
I guess kids are going to have to make some decisions, and it'll end up falling under whatever the NCAA rules that govern it, and are they eligible for their waivers and so on. And you know, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that. I think the guidance we've given at this point is everybody take a deep breath. Let's make sure, you better make sure who's playing and who's not playing. And again, we're going to be trying awfully hard to provide some competitive opportunities for our student athletes in the spring, and failing that, you know what? I really believe what we're going to see is our kids are going to be able to roll over this year of eligibility. They can, you know, it's a forced redshirt year, but that's in essence what it becomes. And I know that's not what everybody would prefer, but it's real life. It's dealing with the situations in front of us. And so if our student athletes are having good experiences where they're at, I hope they'll stick with us and continue to be really, really great and strong participants in our league.
And then my next question is this, as it bases on, you know, just kind of, you know, the whole logistics of it, how tough are the logistics of trying to move football into March and April and then, you know, and trying to make that happen, and then how does that infringe on college basketball and spring sports and everything else that normally would be going on at that time?
Yeah, it is quite the challenge. We've I don't know the answers. I've been saying for about 6 months now, I don't know a lot because of what we're dealing with this virus. And I would say that with the prospect of trying to move fall sports into the spring. What I do know and what I can do is put in place a process where we can try and identify possible answers or identify more problems or come up with that. In our case, we're putting together working groups in every one of our fall sports that will have administrators, coaches, student athletes, faculty members, and medical people. And I've got a long list of issues that they're going to need to address. And, you know, we'll start layering that out. We'll add in facility people. We'll start looking at, you know, across our facilities, the other seasons, how all this stuff works. But I would remind people that all of our fall sports, they all in the spring have what we call a non-championship segment. We know it as spring football for football. Well, all those other sports do those things as well. And in many of those sports, they have competitive opportunities. Well, so they're, one, the student athletes are used to having an intensive period of practice and in some cases competition in the spring. We're used to managing a whole lot of activity across a whole lot of sports all at one time. Now, can we get that all put together? Time will tell. Our student athletes are going to need to really dig in and say, once we develop what the plans are, and again, they're in our league, they're going to be part and parcel of developing those plans. Once we get those plans, look at them and say, you know what, this is a satisfactory competitive experience for me for this year, or it's not. And that will help us make some determinations of whether or not we want to move forward with it. Will there be NCAA championships? Most of the NCAA championships have gone to the wayside now because of all the conferences that have been eliminated in the fall. So do those championships go away for the year, or do they get rolled in the spring, and what do they look like? Does that play a role? What I'm hearing from our student-athletes, if we can facilitate a really good conference race in our sports, that's what they're really focused on right now. So we'll see where we end up.
George?
John, I got to ask one last thing before we go. You created one of the most unique opportunities to get your conference on television in November, Maction at Night. If you go to the spring and you end up playing, can that continue in early 2021?
Certainly could. I don't know the answer to that. We have been communicating with our TV partners since well before we made any decisions on this, because you don't want to surprise your friends. And so we, beyond keeping them in the loop of what potentially was coming down the pipe, I know they're interested in some spring opportunities. We have not gone into any depth at all about windows, or do we want it on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for some of them? Can we be on Saturdays? Don't know what that looks like, but that'll be one of the challenges of putting this all together.
You were great to do this. I can't say thank you enough. I know this hadn't been fun, but you've been a real trooper through this.
Anytime, George.
John, thank you.
Take care.
John Steinbrecher is the commissioner of the MAC, the Mid-American Conference. Teams like Bowling Green and Akron and Toledo, they got this ball started over the weekend, and now the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have followed suit. We'll go to the break, and we'll react to what we have heard in a moment. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
.246 is the time. I want to get some reaction from these guys. We've just heard from John Steinbrecher, who is the commissioner of the MAC, a very difficult decision, one that he clearly agonized over, as did everybody involved in the conference. Watson, let me start with you, and then I'll turn it to Terry. What was your biggest take out of what you heard?
My biggest take was there's a lot they studied, and really nothing came positive as far as letting these kids take that chance. That's what I heard, and if this wasn't a quick decision, that's very obvious from listening to him. It's been going on for a while, and some of his states aren't good, as a lot of the states in the country aren't. So I understand where he's coming from. You heard me brag on him, congratulate him for doing it the way he did, George. Those are hard decisions, and believe me, it was personal to him. He didn't want to take that from those athletes. And we both know John well, and I promise you that sleepless nights you said, absolutely. And but he made a decision. right or wrong, I don't know that we can even say what's right and what's not wrong. They know a lot more information than we do sitting here talking on this show. But he made a decision, and it wasn't a flippant, quick decision. There was a lot went into it. And honestly, I think now, honestly, George, his work is just starting. They got to start all over again now and put all of their sports into the spring. And, boy, that's going to be some work.
Terry, what was your biggest take?
I think the fact that he talked about and basically admitted that a lot of this decision stemmed from just the unknown regarding the virus and whether it's going to subside, whether it's going to increase, what kind of damages possibly could be done, you know, to the heart or the lungs, and, you know, are those damages permanent? I think that just all those X factors being involved, to me, you know, added up to, hey, there's so much unknown. I think we're better. I think they decided that they were better off staying away from playing in the fall and hopefully getting more information, maybe being able to go in the spring.
So at the moment, we have two Power Fives, Big Ten, Pac-12, who have said we're moving back to the spring. We have three, the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC, who are acting like they're going to go in September. Watson, do you really in your heart believe there will be September college football?
Oh, flip a coin. I've gone back and forth, George, so many times. I think the other three are saying they're playing, but that's still a ways away. There's still some weeks to go, so it gives them a little longer to look at this and see. When they say they're playing, I said this to John, I don't think that means they're playing. I think they're saying, as of now, we are. But we've still got time to watch this and see as it goes. And, gosh, I flip a coin. I don't know. I personally would like to see everybody doing it together, but at the same time, I understand if they don't. This is a big country we live in, and some places may can handle it better than others or whatever. And we may have a split, and if we do, it's not going to be as good as everybody playing in the fall to me or everybody playing in the spring.
George, I think this, and you guys feel free to chime in and disagree or agree or whatever. But
I disagree.
Okay, great.
You're welcome.
But I feel like that with high school football starting in Tennessee a week from Friday and starting in a lot of other states around the same time, they're going to get a little bit of a jump on the colleges. I think maybe for the first time, a lot of these colleges, maybe even the NFL, they're watching to see how this goes off, to see if they can handle it or if there's going to have to shut it down within 2 or 3 weeks while they're kind of in this waiting period to see what colleges are going to do. I think they're kind of going to have to watch the high school model to see if they can make it.
Okay, this is a question that I'm going to put out there later, and I'll want some response to it, although, you know, there's certainly other things people can call in about. We've all used the word spring football as an insurance policy. And now we know it's going to be, in some cases, more than an insurance policy. It's going to be the only shot some conferences have got to get their big TV money. Can spring football work? Watson?
You want me to go? Yeah, yes. People love football. And you can't compare it to the new teams coming in and the lower level professional teams trying to play when we all grew up and loved the NFL. When it's college football and it's the teams we're used to seeing, it's not new teams they're making up and putting together. It's college football, it's traditional teams playing traditional rivalries. Yes, I think that it will fly. I would look forward to it if we get it in the fall. Let's say everybody right now plays, George. I would still love to watch it this fall. I would get excited about watching the other half or more than half that are going to play in the spring. I would. So I think it can.
Terry got about 30 seconds.
I agree completely with Watson. I think there are a lot more Ohio State fans who are willing to wait or Southern Cal fans who are willing to watch their team play, even if it's in March, rather than, you know, St. Louis XFL fans or Memphis AAF fans trying to, you know, those teams trying to generate interest in something that's brand new.
Okay, we'll check the ticker, so to speak, and wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then try Babbel. Text TRY to 484848 and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel free. Just text TRY to 484848 and start learning a new language today. That's TRY to 484848. T-R-Y to 484848.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kevin Harvick swept the weekend at Michigan, winning both races. astonishing. Up next, something a little different. Road course racing from the infield at Daytona. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday, the same place that Kevin Harvick does.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. It would make us smile.
Earlier today, the Boston Bruins beat Carolina in double overtime, 4-3, opening game of the Stanley Cup playoff. Washington and the Islanders have been delayed, and they have not yet started. We'll keep you up to date on how Barry Trotz and his team do. When we start the 3 o'clock hour, we'll go to Nebraska, talk with Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal-Star, and try to find out what in the world they've been up to, because they clearly are not on the same page with the Big Ten and the commissioner over the decision to bag fall football. Then we will open up the phone lines at 3:20 for what ought to be some pretty lively conversation. We're going to have a fun 3 o'clock hour. You stick around on WNSR.